On online now, I have Edward Brennan. Good morning to you, Edward. How are you?
Good morning, Noel. How are you? I'm grand, thanks.
Okay, I didn't get a chance to read the whole book, but I got through some of it. Can I ask you one question straight out? Are you a fan of television?
I love television, yeah. I watch a lot.
Okay.
Probably watch far too much television.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and obviously it's changed over the years. And what spurred you on to write this history and its effect on us here?
I suppose the key motivation really was that I think that the history of television in Ireland is quite limited. It's as if when people talk about television, you know, it's very common for people to say, oh, television arrived in Ireland on New Year's Eve in 1961 with the arrival of RTE.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is correct if we think about television as being television broadcasting. But if we think about people watching television, then television was in Ireland long before RTE, and television continued in Ireland as something that went beyond RTE. Half of Irish television households had BBC from the time of RTE's inception. But the experience of television in Ireland was not just about the experience of RTE. And then the other thing is, it's a concern really with the way history is written and the way stories are told, that the history that is written about television in Ireland is very much from the perspective of, I suppose, RTE to some extent. It's from the perspective of official state archives. It's written using newspapers as sources. So that the use of those different sources gives you a limited history of media.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the concern, really. So what I did was I used people's memories of television alongside other newspaper sources and academic sources and so on to try and create a complementary picture of what's gone on. It's not to deny the value of all the great history that's out there on the formation of RTE, the controversies around RTE and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other stories to be told as well. So that was really the motivation, was to look at that, those other stories that aren't looked at.
Yeah, it's amazing the way that you mentioned. I remember it's the TV as well, but from what a lot of people would say, that they could see snow and all that sort of thing on the television picture and adjusting aerials and all like that. But talking about Britain, and that was their first impression of TV. And it's amazing that I heard someone saying during the week that how much we know about Britain and America, and especially those two countries, and how little they, especially Britain, know about us here. That's a sort of one-way street for us, as a matter of fact, as far as television is concerned.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering the impact of the culture, because a lot of the shows would have been American and British at first, we'd seen here, and that opened us up a little bit. And then when and when the Irish television came in, it remained quite staid. It didn't compete too much.
I think RTE television did an awful lot of stuff that British and American television just couldn't do. I think RTE television was part of a change in Irish culture that couldn't have been brought about through British and American television. I think the simple reason for that was that RTE television was about us talking about ourselves. And if you like, having certain conversations kind of sanctioned by RTE as a broadcaster and by the state.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the programmes like The Late Late Show were genuinely really very, very important in terms of, if you like, giving people permission to talk about things. I know that talking to people, you know, about watching BBC and so on, there was an awful lot of programmes on BBC dealing with what were probably taboo topics at the time, you know, around sex and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So while people could watch these programmes, they didn't really necessarily, as far as I can gather, they didn't necessarily feel okay about popping down to the shops and talking to people about them, because
Indeed.
There might be a concern about, oh, what are you watching, or what are you letting your kids watch, or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when topics began to be approached then through The Late Late Show or Talk to Row, the Reardon's programmes like that, I think it kind of made it safe for people to discuss these things. And so RTE did bring about that kind of change. But on the other hand, having said that, the effect of British and US television is massive. That I think there was a massive transformation in culture. And I think the funny thing about English television is that I would compare it to Irish people drinking tea, you know. there's nothing more Irish than a cup of tea, but there's actually nothing Irish about a cup of tea.
Unless you put a drop of whiskey into it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, you know. And so things like Match of the Day, all these British comedy shows, Top of the Pops, like they were just, you know, they were just bread and butter television for Irish people. And I don't think people even thought of them as being foreign. They were just there, you know. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Well, you mentioned the RTE authority and also the government, but the church played a big part as well in some of the comments maybe they made and representations they made when they didn't like something on the TV. Yeah. And they were listened to.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, yeah. I think most of the history, this is in a way part of what I was trying to deal with in the book, is that most of the history of RTE as it's written, some of it is concerned with state censorship, things like Section 31 and so on, the interventions by the state around things like inquiries into money lending, the proposed reports that there were going to be on the war in Nigeria, the civil war in Nigeria, and also coverage from Vietnam, and there was intervention there to stop those reports, but those questions of state intervention don't really play a prominent part in the history of RTE. I think that very question about the role of the church is really prominent. And I think part of what I was trying to do was that there is this kind of, I think it's a dominant way that Irish people make sense of the world. There's this kind of idea of old Ireland and new Ireland. And that old Ireland is very much De Valera and the church and agriculture and tradition and silence. And a kind of a national seclusion, and that the New Ireland is the opposite of that. It's Lamass, it's openness, it's sophistication, you know, a more cosmopolitan sort of outlook and so on. So I think an awful lot of the history of RTE is precisely about that. It's about the Late Late Show, drama programmes and so on, breaking down the taboos that the church had put in place. And I suppose one of the famous yarns that there is like the Bishop in the Nighty incident, you know, in 1966. I think that wasn't actually much of an event in itself, but that it became something after the fact because it was available through press sources, and also because it, in a way, if you like, it compressed the kind of history of television in Ireland into a really easy kind of funny story about this woman talking about a wedding night and this poor rural bishop becoming apoplectic because sex has been mentioned or sex has been alluded to on the Late Late Show, you know?
Do you think that emboldened people to sort of stand up a bit more looking at that and saying, you know, strengthen their outlook on the way that maybe they were being treated and maybe help to break the confines? The start of it with the church and indeed with the governments as well, and taking more of an overall view of life in Ireland?
I think there was a massive transformation taking place in Ireland anyhow. I think television was part of that transformation. But I think that the ways in which television changed people's lives are often overlooked. I think that the Bishop and the Nighty incident in itself has been this kind of long-standing footnote in Irish history to television. But on my research on it, I think that that event was actually quite a non-event, that it was something that received actually very little newspaper coverage. And if anything, it's an example of how the Bishop in question, who had a lot of media contacts and a lot of media knowledge, he used his media contacts to, if you like, try to revive his career, which had taken a dip, where he'd been demoted from Rome to Clonfert. and it seemed to be a kind of a case of media inserting themselves into history, whereas I don't think that people at the time that caused much of a stir. Very few people that I spoke to had vivid first-hand memories of it. Nobody was like spitting out their cup of tea watching the Late Late Show thinking, you know, this is awful. So I think that undoubtedly programs like the Late Late Show did give people confidence, did give people license to discuss things. But the other thing that was happening, of course, is that you can't overemphasize the effect of television, because Ireland from the early 60s was going through a massive economic and social upheaval with industrialization, foreign direct investment, and so on, the replacement of agricultural labor with industry and service work. So there was all this transformation taking place. And I think one of the key things that happened as well is that your livelihood and your standing in Irish society, once multinationals and so on came in, religion was no longer a necessary part of your social standing or your economic standing. So I think that the church was losing power. The church had become economically and culturally sidelined in Ireland anyhow, and that television helped to accelerate that process maybe, but it certainly didn't bring it about.
I think it was a sort of a melting pot as well for us here, because what we had was, we had movies, of course, always had those. But when you talk about Britain, I think you talk about their sort of portrayal of sex. And America was violence and culture and style and clothes. That's the impression I got. And then coming into the 60s, it didn't mean as much to us in Ireland as it did, say, in Britain and America, the 60s. The usual thing, if you remember the 60s, you didn't have a good time and all that sort of carrying. But that was a big cultural change, but not as much of a cultural change in Ireland, because we were still feeding off what we were getting on the TV. Would you agree with that?
I think, talking to people who were younger in the 1960s, I think the big cultural change was radio and music. I think that talking to people and their memories of the 60s, that it was the show band and the excitement of going out to dances and meeting people, and that if you wanted to meet a prospective marriage partner, that the show bands and so on were kind of the only show in town, that was part of the excitement and part of the experience of change. I know, talking to people, that said that, like, if you were a teenager or if you're in your early 20s, I don't know if you'd have any view on this, but that if you were a young person and you were sitting at home at the weekend to watch the Late Late Show, that you needed to get a life, you know, and that it was music. Music, and then later the transistor radio was kind of revolutionary, because people could listen to Radio Luxembourg, Radio Caroline, the BBC. They could be out in the park or whatever, or they could be listening by themselves at night in their room. And that was a key kind of media transformation in Ireland for young people at the time.
Yeah, I think the diversity as well, Edward, for, you know, on reflection when I think about it, I mean, you had massive migration as well, of course. But, you know, in regards to music that you're talking about, I mean, I think what you had, of course, we had the Beatles and the American music coming over. Then, as you say, we had the surge of show bands. But then there was a big breakthrough in Irish traditional music in the 60s here as well, and especially around in all the pubs. I mean, it was terrific. And I don't know that was a backlash against all the pop stuff or not, or what it was, but it was a great melting pot of music, especially in Dublin. Yeah. So I can only talk about Dublin.
And I think, I wonder in all as well, if you could argue that the Irish traditional revival was actually, if you like, a kind of an echo of the American counterculture, because with the hippies and so on, and like Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young and bands like that in America, that the Irish trad scene was nearly like
their identity.
Imitation. It was nearly like a local echo of what was happening in the States as well. You know, people like Makem and Clancy and so on.
Yeah, because
who made it big in the States, I guess, first, you know?
Yeah, because he didn't seem to have that type of identity in Britain. Like, we could say, well, you have all the people you've mentioned, like Crosby, Stills and Nash, but we have Sweeney's Men, and we have the Dubliners now, and all the sort of carry on.
Yeah.
I get that as well. That's what I meant about the revival of traditional music come because of all this... massive pop that was coming from America and Britain and the show band.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, let's find their identity as well.
Yeah. I wonder, it might be a bad comparison, but I wonder if it's like this kind of fashion in the last 10 years for craft beer, you know, that everybody now has a local beer, and that's kind of part of the local identity. But arguably that kind of small brewery, craft brewing kind of thing came out of America, you know, and that was like a local imitation or a local version of an international trend, you know. So I think television had massive effects, but you can't discount all of the other cultural stuff that was going on in cinema, and I think for young people, particularly music.
Do you think its effect has diluted over the years? Television's effect? Yeah, the impact of it from the early days, say, to now, that there's so much of it that you think it's diluted, that people are more indifferent.
To one way of looking at it, I think that the effects of television have actually accelerated. I think that the key effect of television, the key overlooked effect of television, to my view, is that people change the way they use their time. They change the way they spend time in the home. They change the way they spend time with each other. People change the way they spend time with neighbours, chatting in the street or calling into other people's houses or whatever the case may be. So I think that particularly with the suburbs and the growth of the suburbs, television made it easier to stay home, stay in your own house and keep yourself to yourself. And I think that's one of the key transformations that came with television. And I think that that effect is only actually accelerating because people are now not just staying to themselves with their own family, they're staying to themselves within their own head with their own smartphone or tablet or personalized video stream or whatever the case may be. So I think that that kind of thing of the world becoming more global on one hand and more personal on the other is something that started with television, but that now it's just accelerating. It's continuing more so.
Yeah, it's making...
I do take your point, though.
Sorry, go on.
Sorry?
It's making...
I was going to say, take your point that, like, there's this kind of landmark program, like the whistleblower McCabe documentary, for example, on RTÉ last night. But while maybe 30 years ago that might have stopped the country in its tracks, there's every chance that a massive proportion of Irish people haven't even heard about the existence of that program, let alone seen it, because of the diversification of media services, the multiplication of channels and so on, you know. So there is, to that extent, you can argue that the effect of television has kind of declined somewhat, perhaps.
Yeah, because there's so much coming at you all the time that, as I said, I think it sort of dilutes everything, no matter how... And it's like movies and music and everything that comes out now. It's a couple of hours and it's gone. Everything is gone.
Yeah.
Once you've seen it.
Yeah. But
where can people get the book, Edward?
Oh, well, it's actually not out yet. It's in print, so it'll be a while yet. There's some papers from it and so on available on the internet, but hopefully it'll be out in the next couple of months. And should be out around next March. So maybe if it suits, I might come back and talk to you again, because there's hopefully plenty to chew on in it. What I'd actually intended to talk to you about was about the newspaper coverage of television in the 50s, which is interesting in itself. So maybe we might have a chance again sometime to...
Of course, yeah.
...to chat about it.
Of course.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, we wouldn't have as many critics or as many papers or whatever, whether it was movies or TV... at that time as you would have now. If you hang on there, I'll just go to a break, Edward, and then we'll have a little chat after that.
Yeah, grand.